welcome to the Nash Chat. I am so excited to have Miss Vera Stewart here with us today. Hi, Vera.
Well, how are you? I'm excited myself.
Well, we met at the Southern Sea, which was my first time there, and I just am blown away by all the amazing and creative women that I met there, including yourself.
Well, I appreciate being included in that list. I always get energized, and after having been in business now for 35 years, to walk away from a conference like that and have a crick in my hand from taking notes, then you know that must be doing something right.
Absolutely. Well, it's in the 30s here today in Nashville, so I'm wishing that we were back in Sea Island right now.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I am I have a large family. My husband, Andy, and I are, between the two of us, parents to five children who are all married. And they range in age from 50 to the youngest is 35. And we have nine grandchildren between those five couples. And five of those grandchildren, let's see, seven of those grandchildren live here in Augusta. So I am affectionately known as Granny V.
Oh, I love it.
If I'm not at work, I'm generally doing something with one of my children or my grandchildren.
Well, that's wonderful. I know you enjoy spending time with them.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Well, you are a famous cook. You have your own syndicated cooking show, a cookbook. How did your love of cooking get started?
Well, I am, I'm kind of the little bit graduated version of the original firecracker named Vera. My grandmother, and my dad was an only child, but my grandmother's name was Vera. And she lived in Atlanta, and I used to ride. I mean, this is going to make me sound like I'm 150, but I used to ride on a steam locomotive train that went from Macon, Georgia to Atlanta. I mean, it had the billowing smoke that came out of the front of it. And the name of the train was the Nancy Hanks. And, you know, back in the 60s, you could ride that train. I mean, your mom or dad could take you to the train station and you would get on this train and ride. And, you know, there was no thought given to the fact that you were by yourself or if that wasn't safe. And my little 4'11" grandmother would pick me up at the train station in Atlanta and I would spend the weekend with her. And if it was a grapefruit half on the table to go with my cereal, she had it sectioned out with the cherry in the middle. If it was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch, she had cut it into some cute shape, or she had cut it into triangles and had a frilled toothpick on the top. She was a noted hostess, and all of her friends said that everything she did was very Vera. And so the name of my business actually is for her and not for me. But I can tell you safely and surely that over these 35 years, if I ever feel myself getting a little downwinded or burned out, I always remember that the name of my business is Vera, and I better get the energy back.
Well, what a wonderful story and legacy for you to have carried on from your grandmother.
Well, and you know, she was just a homemaker and just enjoyed, you know, arranging flowers and having little tea parties and just took a lot of pride in the presentation of food. And, you know, I was 10 or 11 when she passed away. So she made quite an impact on me. And I did not live near her, like I mentioned, that most of my grandchildren are right here near me, and I see them regularly. So I didn't have as much of an opportunity, but the opportunity that I had was very impactful. And so I'm very appreciative of the fact that, you know, I learned some of these attention to detail points to her life that I've kind of carried on. And, you know, I guess subconsciously I've carried them on.
Right. And you mentioned you know, some of the things that she did were just simple little touches. So it doesn't necessarily take, you know, a whole endeavor, but just those little touches make such a difference.
And you know, just to this day, if we've got a guest coming in for the Very Bear Show, and we have one coming tomorrow from Indianapolis to be a guest on our show, and they're going to get a handmade vase that's small, like you would put beside your bed, that a local potter here in Augusta makes for me for all of my guests. And in it are going to be camellias out of one of my team members here yard, and a handwritten note, and a little box of some of our handmade treats that, you know, are recipes out of the cookbook. So just that detail that will be in her hotel room when she checks in is that same thing that my grandmother always had, a little flower arrangement by the bed that I slept in at her house when I would visit. And, you know, other fresh flowers in the house. And even if it was just greenery and one daffodil, you know, you knew that somebody took a minute and they were being thoughtful about the environment that you were in. So, you know, I always put flowers in the bathroom when I'm having people over. And, you know, like I said, if flowers are not in bloom and I don't want to, you know, go to the expense of purchasing flowers, I'll just do something very attractive out of greenery, you know, in a vase. So it's really the little details that make the biggest impact.
I think so, too. And you can't cheer anyone up more than with some fresh, pretty flowers or an arrangement. And again, I think it's just that thought that someone took the time to make you feel special.
Oh, I believe it.
Well, you started out your career as a home economics teacher. So tell us about the transition from being in the classroom to now being an award-winning caterer and owning your a national mail order business, and how it all transpired.
Well, you know, when I went to the University of Georgia back in 1971, literally you could just get in your little Volkswagen and drive up there and walk through the front gate of the school. Now you have to have an unbelievable SAT score and everything else that goes with it. So thank goodness I came along when some of those requirements were not in place, but I finished at Georgia and, you know, taught home economics, which, you know, basically was the only thing I ever even thought about majoring in. And 35 years later, for me to be every single day of my life living the degree, I mean, short of a doctor or a lawyer, I don't know that many professions that you study and you stick with for that length of time. And the diversification from all the different things that I've branched out into has allowed me the creativity to keep me engaged. You know, I quit teaching in order to have my first child and, you know, be a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, that lasted long enough for me to figure out that I had too many things I wanted to do with my life and with my time. And so while the boys were napping, I would make food, and I had my own little cottage catering business going on. And, you know, once they got old enough to go to school, then I had that many more hours in the day that I could make food. So I moved into a small 500 square foot facility where I could get all the legitimate licensing to do catering. And after a number of years, you know, the expense of having your own place, you had to book a good many projects in order to afford the overhead. So I started looking for a way to diversify so that I would have a constant flow of income into the business. And that directed me to the mail order aspect. And of course, that was 1983. That was before the internet, 3 years prior to the internet, social media, all the things that, you know, your listeners probably take for granted about how easy it is to market yourself in today's world. But back then, you know, I had to have mailing addresses. I had to have contacts of people that might be interested in receiving boutique food through the mail. And, you know, that really launched and took off. And I was actually the first website in Augusta, Georgia. Berrybeera.com, you know, launched 6 months into 1996 when the internet was established. And I've never really taken the time to delve into it deeply, but Emily and I have kind of thought that we were probably the first food blog, because I had a newsletter right off the bat, you know, on that website. But then I kind of looked at expanding my business because, as I said, mail order was growing, catering business was growing. So I moved into a larger facility and decided to open up a little cafe area where people could come in and eat lunch. That had kind of a threefold mission. It got people in the building to see what else we had to offer. It also acted as a way for us to not have misuse of goods. If something was getting ready to go out of date that I sold in my retail store, we could run that as a daily special, like egg salad or chicken salad. And then the other part about it was the mail order part. We would have people that would come into Augusta from out of town that were our mail order customers, and they wanted to come to our location. So having a place where they could actually sit down and eat, you know, so that worked for all of those. Then fast forward a little bit, I decided to make additional income in the summer to create a cooking camp for children. So that took me back to my teaching roots. And this summer will be 16 years ago that I created that camp, and it is now franchised into other cities where my show airs. And then the show is probably the last of the bigger components to my brand, which came about because I was challenged to a throwdown with Bobby Flay. And of course I won, Dawn. You know I won.
Well, of course. Congratulations.
And so the local television station here in Augusta said, well, we're just going to give you your own show. And 3 years into that, we got picked up in a syndicated market. And now we're in 14 markets. And, you know, we air once a week. And depending on the market, depends on the day of the week. So all of that is on our website at veryvera.com is where our show airs. And then finally, this past year, I wrote the cookbook with all of the recipes for everything that I used to sell in my mail order. I closed my complete retail operation 5 years ago to concentrate on the show and the camp and the book. So I don't mail order cakes anymore, and I don't cater weddings on the weekend, but we're probably busier than we've ever been. It's just a different kind of busy.
Well, my goodness, over the years, you sure have grown and expanded your business in different ways. And really, you've been ahead of the time almost in every single aspect. What have you found to be the key to success in owning your own businesses and growing individually and professionally?
Well, you know, I will have to say that once a teacher, always a teacher. And just in the development of our companies without a degree in business and without, you know, I never had a business plan, never even saw most of what I've done to this day coming in advance. But the teaching part of my background has allowed me to be very comfortable writing outlines, very comfortable being visionary. I can remember the principals that made us turn in, you know, a month's worth of lesson plans. And, you know, you had to be very detailed in those lesson plans. And it kept you on track, and it kept his school at the top of the rankings, because if he had a substitute teacher ever in his building, they had a detailed lesson plan to operate from on the day that the primary teacher was not in the classroom. So I feel like the way that we have run Very Vera has been primarily because of my organizational skills from having an education background. But I think the key is to recognize that, you know, every day is not going to be the best day you've ever had. There's a good many days that aren't so good, but I think I'm a very committed person. I'm a goal setter. I feel like I give myself 24 hours to either come up with a solution or get over it, you know, and just move forward. And so I bring that to the table in the way that we run the company daily. But I think entrepreneurship is probably an inherited gift. It's part of someone's character. You can be a wonderful leader and a great follower, but to have that entrepreneurial determination, you know, enthusiasm, vigor, has got to be part of somebody's personality, I believe.
Right. I'm a teacher is my background too. And I feel like you're so correct in that, because you always are kind of having to think of different ways and be creative in the ways you present lessons to the students. And I think it set me up for a lot of flexibility and long-term planning also. Right. Well, tell us more about your cooking show and what viewers could expect on
it. Well, it's the Very Vera Show, and our kind of tagline is that we do Southern recipes with a twist. And so the twist could be potentially an ingredient being added to a recipe that the audience may be very familiar with, or a different way to present it. For example, a lot of times I'll use a cast iron skillet as a way to serve something that instead of using it to cook in, I use it as the vessel to actually serve. Another twist would be that you go back to some of your tried and true favorites. It could be from the 40s. And what ingredient or what process could be added to that recipe to make it, you know, a newer version of it. So we, as having a background in catering and constantly running out of ideas for past appetizers or side dishes to go with steak, you find yourself maybe opening up a chapter in a cookbook that doesn't have anything to do with side dishes and getting an idea. I mean, it could be the chapter on soups, and you could look at the ingredients or the picture and come up with maybe a way that that could be added to make it thicker or be presented in a bread bowl or something that would turn it into a side dish. So it's Southern recipes with a twist. And then there's always an inserted minute where we either give you tips on how to prepare something differently, how to freeze something, how to store food properly, maybe something on manners and etiquette. And then finally, we present every week at the end. The presentation of whatever I did that day is kind of a highlight for a lot of people, that whether it's a plated meal or a buffet or a picnic, we've given you some, you know, really great ideas and tips on how to make it look unusual, bringing in things that you already have and not being so matchy-matchy. It has a different feel to the presentation side.
Well, that sounds like so much fun, and we are just cheering you on and hoping that we'll have your show here in Nashville very soon.
Well, I hope so too.
Well, in your cookbook, you feature all the foods that were featured in your mail order company. What are a couple of your favorites?
Well, all of the chicken salads and the spreads, you know, were always my favorite and so many people's favorite. We sold them in the half pint and pint size containers. And you would know when somebody was going to the beach for the weekend, because they would come by Very Vera and pick up like five or six of the different things that we offered: pimento cheese, tuna fish salad, egg salad. And that would be what they would make sandwiches out of for the weekend, or they would use it as appetizers. So I love the whole chapter on, you know, sides and casseroles and things like that that are just quick and easy. But I'm probably most noted for our cakes. And one of the things that I'm most proud of about the book is that the educator in me really comes out in the descriptions on how to properly mix and prepare these cakes. For example, most cake recipes will just start by saying cream the butter and the sugar, but they won't go into detail about how many minutes you need to do it and what it needs to look like when it's complete. And so we use a lot of descriptive adjectives in the way the batter is supposed to present. And then, you know, I tell you on a pound cake to cream that butter and sugar for 20 minutes. And when you think about it, you and I are just now having been talking for 20 minutes. That's a long time. And And you know, people would think that is a typo. There's no way. You would not believe the people that have responded and said, now I know why my pound cakes never worked, that they flopped every time, was because I was not creaming my butter and sugar long enough. So I give you the tip to get that going and then measure out all of your other ingredients. Basically, by the time you're done with that and you've cleaned up behind yourself, your butter and sugar is ready to go.
Well, again, it's that attention to detail that you're so strong and skilled in. So we all appreciate that. Tell us a little bit more about your cooking
camp. Well, the cooking camp, I can remember so vividly. It was around the spring of 2004, and that's when you have to go sit that dreaded meeting with your accountant, when he either gives you the really bad news or the really, really bad news. And that day he said, you know, you just do so well during all the holidays because people are ordering your casseroles and your cakes. And, you know, during the Masters golf tournament, your catering business is just breaking records. But then you get to the summer and you use all of your profit to keep your company alive with this camp. I mean, you know, keep your company alive. And he said, what can you do in your building to make money? And that's when I thought, well, I can bring children in and teach them how to cook. So the original idea came from just needing to produce an income in the summer. But, you know, with everything else that I've closed and said goodbye to, I just cannot say goodbye to that camp. The opportunity to be with those young people in the summer is the highlight of my year. Just watching them be so enthralled and interested. It is the little Vera going to visit the grandmother. It's me just having her inspire me with these little things that she did that we talked about at the beginning of this conversation. And so it's now worked its way through to being the first job for a camper that came to camp until they were the age of 14. Then they get to come as a junior counselor. They get to come here for their first job interview. They get hired. They have to commit for at least 1 week. They get paid a very minimal salary for that week, and they learn about work ethic and that you don't start out making a bunch of money. And then this year we're doing a scholarship program for children in our community that each school is getting to nominate a child that they think would benefit, whose parents could maybe not necessarily afford for them to come. And that whole program is being named after a young lady who's graduating from high school this year that was my very first junior counselor. And it's the Elizabeth Pipkin Scholarship Program. So for her senior project to graduate from high school, she's had to write the mission statement, the business plan, submit the application letter and introduction to all of the area schools. She is getting all of the applications sent to her email address at veryvera.com. And I mean, she's a senior in high school and she is developing a business.
Right. The skill that she's learned and the ways that she's going to use these will carry on for a long time, I'm sure.
I'm so excited about that part of it. And then, you know, to be able to franchise it, to be able to have written it well enough that we can sell a module to another city and have them run the Very Vera camp in their town is just like I still can't get over it. Yeah.
Well, I think that's amazing. And I know so many kids look forward to coming to those camps every year. Where all are your camps?
We have one in Aiken, South Carolina, Macon, Georgia, Beaufort, South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow. Well, towards the end here, we will have you share with our listeners where they can find information on signing up for those camps. So you, over the years, have worked with major brands such as Southern Living, Soldier Products at Neiman Marcus, the Home Shopping Network, and many more. After 35 years in business, you are not slowing down, Miss Vera. What is coming up next?
Well, I really want to write a children's cookbook to kind of, you know, partner with my camping program. There's certain recipes that, you know, will live on forever because these kids learned how to do them, you know, at the camp. And then, you know, bring in and pull in the napkin folding and the table manners and etiquette. And, you know, another part of the mission statement is entrepreneurship. So, you know, they one of the dishes that they make during the week, they have to determine, you know, how much the ingredients cost, how long it took to make it, and what you should sell it for. And then how it should be packaged and what the name of your little business would be. And so all of that, you know, to work into kind of a cookbook, kind of a primer to, you know, spark that creativity and that development of business skills and entrepreneurship, you know, into a young person is kind of the legacy that I want Very Vera Camp to continue to have forever and ever. And so that's a big part of what, you know, I'm doing. And then, you know, from there, I'm hoping that, you know, we, of course, every year add more television markets to our areas that actually show the show. And it's just to continue to have the openings here in the company to bring on recent college graduates and, you know, maybe high school students that are choosing a technical career instead of a college education and have a, you know, a great opportunity here in our company for those young people as well.
Well, not only are you focused on your business, but it sounds like you really try to take care and look after a lot of students and young people.
Being a mentor is a very important part of who I am.
Well, that really shows in your business and your life. You also, and my husband is not going to let me get off of here without talking to you about one major collaboration that you have with a very famous golf tournament, the Masters. Tell us about your role in catering the Masters and how that worked out.
My business having started here in Augusta in 1984, back at that time, there was no food really served at the Augusta National. I mean, they had the famous fermented cheese and chicken salad sandwiches, but you know, it really wasn't a golf tournament where you went and ate other than these little sandwiches. And so most of the people that came to town certainly were looking for, you know, they would leave the golf course at lunchtime if they wanted a bigger lunch and would either go to our private property or there were tents set up across the street where you could get food. And then, you know, a lot of them would have, you know, parties and that sort of thing. So we got very involved in that, you know, in the early 80s with doing that sort of thing. You know, through the years now, the whole golf tournament has just grown by leaps and bounds. Certainly there is every imaginable food opportunity offered now at the Augusta National. But there's still a lot of companies and individuals that still like to do hospitality in the homes that they have rented here in the Augusta area to live in that week. So that's where we come in. We still set up, you know, the hospitality areas for folks and go in and do private catering in homes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and, you know, have customers that we have had for 30 years and add new ones every year. So we have taken that part of our business model and continued to perfect it and have continued to tweak it to match up with, you know, what's more in line with what is done now in Augusta during that week.
It's such an exciting week in Augusta. I know I have not personally been to the Masters, but my son and husband, that's one of their traditions to go. So I say maybe this year I'll get to go, hopefully. Well, if we are visiting Augusta, where is a place you would recommend? What are your favorite restaurants or place to visit?
One of my favorite restaurants here is Beck's. And John Beck is a, you know, he's chef-owned restaurant. He has two restaurants, Beck's and Sheehan's. And it's just, you know, really the local fare, great fish, great beef, you know, does a wonderful shrimp and grits, you know, just, you know, farm to table is just really incredible. And I guess for me, because he, you know, he started it from scratch, you know, he's worked his way all the way to where he is today. He's very humble in, you know, any acknowledgement of his success. He is still very, very hands-on in that business. I mean, I don't know very many times I've ever been in there that he wasn't there. And so it's my favorite in terms of eating. And then in terms of just things to see, you know, James Brown, the musician, was from Augusta. So, you know, there's a lot that has to do with music and that sort of thing. You know, Lady Antebellum was from Augusta. Two of the members, the two men in that group are both from Augusta. In fact, one of them was Carney brother, both my sons. So they grew up eating Vera Vera and, you know, probably got Vera Vera cakes for their birthday when they were in college. So that's kind of fun. But there's a lot to do in Augusta. You know, we still are a very small town. But it's a small town with a lot of flair.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Miss Vera, for being here with us today and sharing about your very admirable career over the years. And we look forward to continuing to follow you along on your journey. Can you share with our listeners where
Absolutely.
They can find you online?
VeraVera.com. It has everything about the show and what's going on in our company. And then VeraVeraCamp.com. It was where you would learn more about where our camps are located. And then anything that has to do with the Masters, hospitality, housing, catering is VeraAugusta.com.
Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing more from you soon. Thank you.